Hey, family, my name is Daryl. I'm an addict.
Hey, Daryl.
And thank you. You know, for a minute, I kind of felt like, man, I shouldn't be speaking at this convention. And I actually wanted to go to my room and go to sleep. And they had somebody else come up here and speak. Because that part of me felt like I wasn't worthy to come up here and speak. I didn't go through a lot of horror stories I heard other people talk about. But I sat outside and I drank my Mellow Yellow, and it was like, man, I got 18 years in this program, and I've learned some things in here, and I feel like my story is my story, and can't nobody take it away.
Right.
You know, I can start off saying, man, that nervousness went away when I walked in the room, right, and Kim say, just looked at me and said, oh, Boston hat, huh? And it went away. I forgot why I was nervous. Because I'm one of the D.C. area, and I'm the treasurer of one of the biggest meetings in the city. And done step work, have a sponsor, have sponsees that I help, you know, try to keep their life together. But just for that moment, man, that insanity creeped back in that I wasn't worthy. I wasn't, again, worthy. It felt like in the beginning, I can take you back and qualify myself how I got here and why I'm here. Then I'll take you up to why I stay here, Lord, today. My mother was an addict. My father was an addict. My uncles were addicts. My aunts were addicts. My grandmother was an addict. My grandfather was an addict. And I guess I was destined to be where I am now. But thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. You know, Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. Narcotics Anonymous made me be worthy of being somebody and doing something and not just existing. Grew up on the streets of D.C. And I had an uncle, right? My uncle was my role model. My uncle was my all in the one. My uncle was my Superman, my Batman, all those superheroes people saw on TV. I had an uncle that I thought was all that. And he was a drug dealer. But I watched him come to everybody's rescue when they needed something. I watched this man be that Superman of my family where I wanted to be just like him. And I set out on that path. But I guess y'all know where I am now. You know, it didn't work. But I gotta be honest about it. It was alright in the beginning. It was alright in the beginning. I can't sit here and say, oh, woe is me, it was all bad. But when I rewind that tape and go to the end, there had to be a power that could restore me to some sanity. Because I was crazy as hell. And my craziness came because I blamed everybody else for me being crazy. You know, I have my mother's in this program, 32 years, right? And I blamed her for me being here. She fucked me up. She did that. She did this. But when I got here, man, and I started doing step work, I found out that she ain't do none of that. I did. What happened was, I found out coming into this program, man, I could be restored to some sanity. Didn't say I would, because I done a lot of crazy stuff in the program. I'm talking about things that I ain't proud of in the program. I'm not talking about, you know, I can tell you about all the crazy stuff I did before I got here, because my drug of choice was a combination of boat and crack. And I didn't think I was a crackhead until I identified in and came in this program. Because I sold some drugs, I could keep drugs, but man, how it made me feel at the end, man. I'm talking about I had a hole in my soul that was as big as me. Because, you know, I knew about a God of my understanding before I got here. And I need to say this, if there's any atheists in this room, you can recover. You can recover. I'm talking about a spirituality. I'm not talking about a religion. So, you know, coming in here, man, and coming to believe, I came in here like the dying, man. I walked maybe about 3 miles to a facility, D.C. General Hospital. Because I no longer wanted to use. I didn't understand what I was going through, so I called that mama that I hated when I was in my addiction and all my youthful life. Because, you know, she fucked me up, right? I told y'all that, right? I hated that lady. But at the end of my road, I had to call her and ask her what to do. I mean, she's sitting in the room. I can't look at her, right? That's why I'm looking at y'all, because I ain't looking at her. And what happened was, she said, boy, you need some help. Go tell somebody you need some help. And the sanity piece came when I told that doctor I was smoking boat and smoking crack, and I think I need some help. I had never admitted to somebody I needed help. I was all right. No matter what I did, I was all right. No matter how bad it got, I was all right. But at the end, man, I wasn't all right. I felt less than. I felt like I just didn't want to exist no more. I felt like I didn't need to be here no more, because what was I contributing to anybody? Nothing. I felt like, man, if I died, nobody probably would miss me anyway. I was too scared to kill myself, right? I couldn't do none of that. All I could do is just exist. And I went in the hospital and told that man that, man. And they sent me to a treatment facility over on D.C. General Grounds. And I had a psychiatrist there, you know, I'm talking about sanity, right? I had a psychiatrist looked at me and said, baby, you took all those drugs and you still think you're sane. She said, baby, do you know you're crazy as hell? I was like, nah, I ain't crazy. Can you define crazy to me? Because I thought I had some intellect. Because, you know, I'm a computer network specialist. I can fix anything. I love that. That's what I do. And she said, baby, but you can't fix you. Huh? So can you show me what to do so I can get better? She said, first of all, you need to let your mother off the hook. Man, I don't mess with that lady, man. What you mean let her off the hook? Because that's part of your problem. You will not forgive that lady, and that's going to eat to your soul. And when she said that to me, man, some gates opened up, right? I ain't going to say I started crying, but that's what I did, right? You know, I cried, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried. And all she would do is just sit there and look at me. And she said, the reason I'm not getting up and hugging you is because you need to cry. You need to let it out, because you've held that all of your life. When are you going to let her off the hook and get better? Man, I'm talking about, she was a Jamaican, and she worked at Howard University Hospital. And I show you how just wanting to be a part of something and get better and not only exist. I went to my first meeting, you know, I went to my first meeting on April 2nd, 1998. And that's when I started my recovery. I didn't start it when I was in treatment. I wanted to wait until I got out, because I didn't know what I would do when I got out. I thought I would be that same person, just take a minute. You know, it was like a, what they call them, an oil change. And when I get back out, you know, it'll be all right. But something changed in me. You know, a lot of people, you know, I've been around here long enough to understand that my problem was me. My problem was the things that I would take myself through, the things I would convince myself that they were okay, weren't okay. You know, I told you I had kept a job, would go to work, get off work, go on the block, hustle, use, hustle, use, hustle, use, 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 use. You see how that hustle went out, right? I just used. You know, and I'm talking about, man, just wanting to do something different. Finding out that, and I'm going to tell you, if you're a newcomer and you haven't embarked in that step work, man, get into that step work. Man, that step work opened me up so wide that I felt like I had arrived. I felt like I had gotten to the point in my life where whatever I do is going to be okay. Man, you heard me say I made some mistakes here in the process. I made a lot of mistakes here in the process, but I'm still here. You know, it said it could restore me to some sanity. It didn't say it would, you know, and I try to emphasize that to my sponsees, not to think that, you know, you here and you could be, you would be restored to some sanity. No, you could be, because everyday life shows up and, you know, I got some grand ideas and I'll do some things that I know are insane. Then I'll justify them with, it's a process. You know, I always, and then in time, I never understood why I can have all this recovery, do things, knowing they're wrong, and justify and say it's a process. It blew my mind, so I wanted to try to do something different. And I talked to my sponsor about it, right? He said, man, if you keep saying it's a process, you'll believe that everything you do, sane or insane, is just a process, and you'll be okay. No, at some point, you need to stop doing those things. But don't nobody know. But me. You know, my sponsor was kind of subtle, right? But he'd make you think things and then think about it again. And then all that night you can't sleep because he done said a couple of words to you. And then in the morning when you call him and say, well, did you think about what I said? He got on my damn nerve. But I love him, you know? Because without him, I don't know where I may be, man. He helped me get a lot of stuff out of me that I thought was okay. He helped me get better with me. And when I get better, continuing upon how I feel, my whole world get better. You know, I grew up with issues, man, with women. I ain't say that loud, did I? That comes from, you know, how I felt about the abandonment issues that I had with my mother. It comes from not fully giving myself to a woman because I felt like I better leave her before she leave me. That'd be the best thing to do. Because I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel like I could give my all because I'm going to get hurt and I got to go through that pain and I don't want that pain ever again in my life. I'm talking about relationships. And 10 years ago, I got married. I never thought I would be married. It's because of the step work, man. That step work allowed me to see me and find out that I could get better with me and not be that same person I always was. I'm talking about a guy, man, that, you know, if you looked at me wrong or if you kind of like accused me of something, I got to leave you alone because I'm going to leave you before you leave me. Insanity, man. I'm talking about living it every day, whether it was going to work and doing something I wasn't supposed to, and then coming home and justifying it once again. Insanity. Being in this program, man, I'll say this, I got married, and my wife would go out. And that part, that abandonment issues and all those things I would go through, I call her 10 times before she get home. I just call, where you at? What you doing? Because she out messing with somebody in my mind. See, y'all told me the mind was a terrible thing to waste. Man, I wasted a whole lot of time in my mind. You talking about the mind will allow you to believe one thing when she probably over her aunt house somewhere with her aunt. My mind would take me to where she at, what she doing, how long she going to be. Because I'm talking about those abandonment issues that I had. And now I'm in this marriage, and they say for better or for worse, I just can't leave, so I just keep calling. I'm the only one done that, right? So what happened with me was I had to teach myself about trust. And I pick up the phone, I dial 6 numbers, and hang up. Then it got to 5. Then it got to 2. And man, remarkably, because of this program and the step work, wherever she at, that's where she at. But let her call me. Where you at? Where I be? What's going on? Why you questioning me? Come on, man, don't do that. That ego. I'm talking about easing God out. I'm talking about what my higher power did for me was allow me to let myself off the hook. Because I had a higher power before I got here, and he helped me out even when I didn't know it. So now I'm here. All I got to do is believe. All I got to do is believe it's going to be all right. All I got to do is understand that that same high power that had me then has me now. Now, if I don't believe that, you know, whatever you want to call him. I couldn't call him a doorknob. I'm sorry. I couldn't call him anything that was tangible. So it helped me out to understand, man, believing in that higher power would get me through whatever I went through. And man, sometimes, most times, damn, all the time, it was just in my mind. I'm talking about, man, being in a program, man, that even after April 2nd, I celebrated my 18th year, right? Yeah. And I'm going to show you how that could be restored to some sanity peace if it works right there. I ain't even want to come in here, man. You know, I got an aunt that I love to death, right? I got a mother in here. I got family in here. And I told y'all I can't look at my mother, right? I ain't looking at her. She in here, but I ain't looking at her. She has 32 years, man. And I had to understand that. She got 32 years. Damn, so when can I leave this program? I can't. I stay in service, man. Stay in step work. Stay talking to my sponsor. Because, man, I got to be here for the rest of my life. And at one point, it was like, damn, I got to be here for the rest of my life. Nas, I'm so grateful to be here that I understand that without this program, man, I don't know where I'd be. Even 18 years later, I can't ride off in the sunset. Because I told you, my mind played tricks on me. My mind will tell me some stuff, man, and have me using again if I allow it to. I never want to use again in my life if I can help it. And the only way I can help it is stay in this program and try my best to do the right thing. I ain't say I do the right thing all the time. And I ain't doing no confessing or nothing. Y'all need to know that. I ain't confessing. But I understand that if I'm here, man, I'd rather be here than there. 18 years ago, man, my life was a ball of confusion, man. I didn't know when day was night and when night was day. But I found out now that if I stay here, it behooves me not to say, I got a friend in here, right? And he taught me a lesson. He taught me if I don't go to meetings, he taught me if I do some other things, you know, and put recovery behind other things, I'd use again. This is my best friend, man. This is my road dog. Man, we come down here every year together. And he finally told me yesterday that he came down here for the first time with me. And that touched my heart, you know? So I tell you, if you hear, man, in this program, please stay, do some step work, get a sponsor, and understand, man, it's a process. When I say that, I don't mean make it an excuse. Don't make it an excuse. Because if you do, you live through the excuse. It's a process. Well, I did, but it's a process. Well, you know, I tried, but it's a process. How much are you going to tell yourself it's a process without doing some changing? My name, I do? Okay. So, you know, I got to check with the lady, right? But I tell you, I want to get from this podium and go sit down some damn way. Because my story is the greatest story I ever heard, because I lived that story. Nobody else lived that story but me. Nobody lived the story that tells me that if I don't do something different, I can't watch my children grow. I work two jobs, and I do that because I have a reason. I have a goal to obtain. I want to send my kids to school for free. So I work at this university, the hospital, so that they can go to school for free. But the same part about it is, I was in the government from 82 to 92. I applied 5 years ago and I got back in the federal government. So you're talking about an addict, man, that was destined to do nothing, that was just existing, man, doing some things, you know? I ain't got to give somebody else my money no more. I can come to the convention in a car and enjoy it and drive two Miss Daisies around, not one. Two, my aunt and my mother. My wife got mad at me because I haven't brought her down here yet. But you know why I do that? because this is for my mother. I enjoy her, and the only time of the year I get to spend time with her is come to the convention and spend time with her and drive her around and take her where she want to go and make sure she alright and drive over to the convention and then take the car and go park it back over there, then walk over to the convention myself and make sure my aunt in the car with her and they get where they gotta go, and then I can go where I want to go. So, and it's part of service to me, man. This is something that is dear to my heart. Man, for years, man, I told this lady, man, I never wanted to be bothered with her. But now I call her when I need her. She's there for me, you know? It's like my best friend, my partner, right? Sometimes she's my road dog. Or in convention, she's my road dog. Till I get tired of her. Man, you alright, man? No, I'm tired. Man, she done got tired, man. Hold up, I'll wait for her. You okay? Come on, I got enough energy. But I love it every year, you know? I'll be talking about her next year before we come. But we be coming. Hey, my name is Daryl. I'm sticking to my story, and thanks for letting me share.